Hey, Speedway Report is produced and broadcast by the Zeus Radio Network for Racers Reunion Radio. Now, Spider-Man opened at the box office, and he also paid a long-awaited visit to Victory Lane. Now, Valtteri Bottas had a reaction time that, well, it wasn't quite up to NHRA times, but it was pretty impressive to Formula One times. And speaking of times, how many times are we going to waste our time watching NASCAR Cup races with bogus finishing under green flag rules? Well, all this and more. Hey, welcome to Speedway Report for Monday, July the 10th, 2017, from the shores of Lake Norman in Race City, USA, Mooresville, North Carolina. I'm Patrick Reynolds, and thank you for joining us for the fastest half hour in racing on RacersReunion.com, Facebook Live, and SpeedwayReport.com. From the North Myrtle Beach ZRN Studios, right around the corner from Bimini's, producer Jeff Gilder is giving us four tires and fuel for our run to the checkered flag until the top of the hour. Let's dive into the Speedway Report Victory Lane lap, tell you who won what, and a little bit of how they did it. Busy, hot summertime weekend. The Monster Energy NASCAR Cup cars were in Kentucky. I don't like stages, but we'll report on them. Stage 1, Stage 2, and the final checkered flag. Martin Truex Jr. runs the table, collects all the points, all the money, anything he can do. He pretty much did. The Xfinity race scheduled for Friday night was rained out. It runs Saturday afternoon, made for a nice doubleheader at the Kentucky Speedway. Kyle Busch took the checkered flag about 2 o'clock on Saturday afternoon before he strapped into the Cup race later that night. The trucks did get their show in on Thursday. Mother Nature gave them a headache, too. That was rain delayed by a few hours. Late checkered flag, but Christopher Bell in a Toyota 4, KB Motorsports, took the checkered flag there. Bell, you know, he's the next Eric Jones and Kyle Larson of our time. Just a few years down the road, he'll be there. Truex Jr. establishing himself as one of the favorite to possibly take home the championship this year. Short track cars, oh my goodness. Thompson, Connecticut raced on Saturday night, one of the first tracks I ever went to in my life. NASCAR's K&N Pro Series East held what they call the Busch North Throwback 100. They had a lot of the paint schemes and wraps designed like New England legends for their race up there. Going back to the Busch North days before it evolved in what is now the K&N Filters Pro Series East, the old NASCAR North Busch North cars. Anyway, the race was won by Harrison Burton. A friend of the show here, Doug Kobe, ran a Mike McLaughlin lookalike car back in the Coors Extra Gold days. Remember those when he ran for Sherwood Motorsports and the Busch North cars? He ran fourth. Kobe did in his, I was going to say his Busch North debut. No, his K&N Pro Series East debut. Nice fourth place finish for him. Well, the IndyCars went short tracking in Iowa on the, what is that, a 7/8 of a mile oval? Late, whatever it was last night, I'm not sure why, but we'll talk about that a little bit too. But late Sunday evening, anyway, they took the checkered flag. Elio Castro Neves broke a 3-year winless drought. Spider-Man is back. He hops out of the car, climbs the fence. Never mind Tony Stewart. This was the first guy that I saw do it a long time before Smoke did. Much respect to Smoke for doing it. But this climbing the fence stuff, I love it. I think it's a great salute to the fans. Castro Neves back in Victory Lane at Iowa. I couldn't realize it had been 3 years since he had won. You know, I see him every year at Indianapolis, and he's so strong, and he runs up front, leads laps, and almost, you know, he's won 3 times there. And when he's not winning, he's running near the front. It's like, but boy, it's been 3 years since he visited Victory Lane in any kind of IndyCar world. Formula One cars were in Austria in the Red Bull Ring. Valtteri Bottas for the Mercedes cars wins the pole, wins the checkered flag, stands atop the podium. And Romain Grosjean got a fine sixth-place finish, earned world championship points for Haas Formula One, the team established where? Right in Kannapolis, North Carolina, home of Dale Earnhardt and home of Formula One United States. Our friends with the IMSA Tour were north of the border in Bowmanville, Ontario. Dane Cameron and Eric Curran shared driving duties, and they took the checkered flag up there. Bigger story, they snapped the six-race winning streak of Wayne Taylor Racing with Ricky Jordan and Taylor Jordan, or Jordan Taylor, excuse me, Ricky Jordan Taylor. And they finished sixth or seventh, I believe, there. But they run the table as well, much like Truex did at Kentucky. They had run the table for the season for the IMSA prototypes. And anyway, Cameron and Curran stand atop the podium. Our friends with the drag racing, the straight liners for the NHRA, were at the legendary Route 66 Raceway out in Illinois. Steve Torrence won Top Fuel for the fifth time this year. Ron Capps took win number six in Funny Car, the two of them on big hot streaks. Well, Drew Skillman was winner in Pro Stock, and L.E. Tonglet one in Pro Stock Motorcycle. Skipping over to the dirt tracks, Lucas Oil Late Models ran in our neck of the woods here. Thursday night in Fayetteville, North Carolina, local boy Chris Ferguson took the 10 grand checkered flag there. Friday night in Gaffney, South Carolina, Brandon Overton stood in victory lane. And in Saturday night in Maryville, Tennessee, Jimmy Owens was your winner. The World of Outlaw Late Models were way to the north in Spring Valley, Minnesota on Saturday night, where Chris Madden took home the winter honors there. And the World of Outlaw Sprints also pretty far north, New Richmond, Wisconsin. Kerry Madsen didn't bring a snow shovel. He brought a broom with him as he won on Friday night, as well as the A-Main on Saturday night. Yeah, shots didn't win. Can you believe that? Well, sharing the twin bill with the IndyCars in Iowa were the ARCA cars. They raced Saturday night, and Dalton Sargeant was your winner there. I'd like to delve into this at some point and see how the rubber buildup at the Iowa Oval fared with the heavy stock cars putting down their rubber, as well as the Mazda Road to Indy and the Indy cars using their tires there. The lighter cars with so much more downforce with those big behemoth stock cars that we have here. It'd be interesting to delve deeper in one of those weekends. Used to see that a little bit more with the NASCAR trucks and the CART Championship Series. I think they did one a few at Homestead as well as Las Vegas, and there were issues. Somebody was always complaining about the other series as far as tires went. The USAC Sprints, will stick with the dirt track racing, kicked off Indiana Sprint Week last Saturday night. They raced at Kokomo. Thomas Messeralt was your winner. And last night in Lawrenceburg, C.J. Leary took the checkered flag. Tonight's race is in Gas City. We're looking at East Coast time, about 7:38. After this show, don't leave before the show's over, but after the show, head on up to Gas City, I-69 Speedway. You can probably catch the B-Main and the A-Main, but go after we're off the air. Grandview, Pennsylvania, Mike Goulart won the small block dirt modified race, and the Cars Tour had a doubleheader in Hudson, North Carolina. Super late model race was won by Matt Craig, while the late model stock cars were won by Josh Berry, driving for Dale Earnhardt Jr. with his pavement late model. And the Bowman Gray Stadium, Winston-Salem, North Carolina, got rained out again. It faced a lot of weather issues this year. It's kind of a bummer. I was looking out the window, thinking, maybe I'll go. This vicious thunderstorm rolled through. Glad I kind of double-clutched that sucker and did not hit up the road. Too bad for them. They'll try it again this Saturday night. Now let's hop over to my section where I complain about stuff. I guess we got a little open wheel racing, some open cockpit stuff. I got some NASCAR stock car stuff and the IndyCar world. Let's start with, well, let's, sure, I'll go with the early bird gets the worm. Sunday morning, Mercedes wound up in victory lane in Austria, yet was not Lewis Hamilton. Teammate Valtteri Bottas won the pole and won the race. Big story was his reaction time. Borderline jumping the start. You're familiar with Formula One, how they do a standing start. It's a red lights go out, let's go racing. Well, they were standing there, and the red lights go out, and Bottas takes off and gets this gorgeous, beautiful, flawless start, to the point where Sebastian Vettel, his Ferrari, is kind of looking at Bottas with the stink eye, with the snake eye, going, wait a minute. this guy jumped. Well, they've got all kinds of computers and technology and electronic scoring. They've got electronic everything in Formula One. They know, and it's pretty much a black and white issue. Bottas did not jump the start. There is actually a tolerance built into those, believe it or not. It is incredibly, infinitely small, but there is a tolerance built in because you can't go before the red lights go out. And they build it in there for a possible clutch adjustment on the starting grid because these guys are looking to launch. They showed the reaction time for Bottas is 0.2 seconds, which, as they call that, superhuman in the world of Formula One. Now, I know if our drag racing friends are tuning in a little early to Racing and Rocking at the top of the hour, 0.2 seconds, they're all probably chuckling under their breath. Reaction time of 0.2, so what? You would lose every race if you had a reaction time of 0.2 in the NHRA. Sometimes they are just over a hundredth of a second in the NHRA. You'll see a 0.01 something as a really good reaction time. It's an excellent reaction time. They flirt with red lights all the time over there. Somewhat of a same issue in the start of the Formula One race where Bottas' launch off the grid. And anyway, the finish came down to Vettel closing in hard on Bottas. Bottas started the race on the ultra soft tires, made the swap over to super softs. The chassis setups in the Ferrari was more conducive to the super softs than the ultra softs. He had the same tire strategy after the pit stop for the tires, and here comes Bottas leading the race. Vettel is reeling him in. Closing. He's within a second and just comes up just that much shy of the win in second place. He says after the race, man, one more lap, I would have had him. Well, you know, anybody that's watched the start of a Formula One race, that's critical. Is that start, you know, Vettel had, I guess, he was incorrect, but did he have the point to raise that's like, wait a minute, this guy jumped the start? It did come down to that close of a finish over there in Austria. What would you point out? I would at least have them look at it, the competitor that he is. He's still getting his hand slapped and admonished for that side pod ram that he did on Lewis Hamilton a few weeks ago. So a little social media firestorm somewhat. Some people, you know, whining about Sebastian Vettel, big crybaby. This, that, and the other thing, he's looking at it, you know, just wanted it checked out, I think. I would have, too, because I watched the start, I watched the replay a few times, and yeah, to the naked eye, I don't think it was a jump at all. Formula One ruled that it was not a jump, and, well, if you're sitting in the car, it's easy to say, hey, wait a minute, especially if it came to that much of a close finish. During the race, yeah, you'd be talking about it, and maybe at the end of the race, if it didn't matter, if you were seventh or eighth or, you know, retired from the race, weren't around at the finish, maybe not that big of a deal. But when you make that point on the radio at the start on the first lap, and then it gets played, replayed over the airwaves, looked at, the fans hear about it, they look into it a little further, officials look into it, and, well, there you go. I can see that, but I never thought a 0.2 reaction time would be a hot topic in Formula One. It certainly has been for the past 36 hours, and our NHRA friends just chuckle at us with a 0.2 inhuman reaction time, they call that on Bottas. Inhuman at 0.2 seconds. And the NHRA is like, yeah, right, we'd lose every race at 0.2 seconds with a reaction time. But for a finish in F1, which can often be a runaway, great race, reaction time for Bottas, good for him. And I always love to see the United States Formula One team score championship points. Close to a top five there with a sixth place finish for Romain Grosjean. NASCAR, the Monster Energy Cup Series. Is that the right name for these guys? Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series. I still got to practice my name on that. Winston Cup, Grand National, anyone? Yeah, well, they raced at the Kentucky Speedway Saturday night. We gave you the results. Mile and a half, typical downforce track. Here we go. It wasn't a good race. There was good racing in the field, but it was not a good race. Now, to me, I'm not the kind of guy where the racing was bad, so we got to change the sport. Some people are like that. Well, we need to change. The race stunk, so we got to change a bunch of rules. Well, no, you don't. necessarily got to change a bunch of rules. It's not how it works, and it's kind of a knee-jerk reaction. However, the racing stinking on a mile-and-a-half downforce track is anything but knee-jerk, as how long have we been dealing with this? I mean, we're looking at into the 1990s we first started this with these downforce mile-and-a-half, two-mile races where we're kind of looking at each other saying, man, this racing isn't really that good, is it? You know, I still love these guys. I love this sport, but man, give me a Martinsville over a Charlotte. And then we started building in the 1990s all those style of racetracks. You know, Texas went up, Vegas went up, Kansas, Chicago, Kentucky's another one. Here we go, the mile and a half D's and 2 miles. Gotcha. Yeah, well, the cars then. Remember the old Twisted Sister before the car of tomorrow, which we're supposed to call the Gen 6 or the Gen 7 or whatever the hell it is. Through all this, through the 1990s, later the mid to the late 1990s, we had this issue. All through the 2000s, the dreaded aero push, through the car of tomorrow. And here we sit 2017, about 10 years later after the COT first debuted. And we moved on to the generation after that. And I ask you this, race fans, I ask you this, NASCAR, what have we fixed? Yeah, I'm waiting for the answer. Through all this, what have we fixed for racing on those mid-sized downforce tracks? Nothing. We haven't fixed anything. Guys are still complaining about an aero push. They lose the air off the nose of the car. If they're in clean air, car's running great. They pull up to somebody to make a pass. They lose the air off the nose. They start to push. They can't get around anybody. We've been messing around with this, I don't know how many years now. It's good 20. Seriously, this started in the late 1990s or the mid. I can't remember exactly when we started looking at a race at Charlotte Motor Speedway is going, I don't think this will be good. It used to be dynamite. We used to look forward to races at Charlotte. Now Charlotte, unfortunately, falls in that cookie-cutter style of racetrack, as well as where we just were, Kentucky, a newer track, this past Saturday night. But we're looking at it going, what? This racing just is not that good. Brad Keselowski talked about this really candidly after the race on Saturday night. Well, actually during the race, but after he dropped out from a crash. Might be sour grapes, but he was saying, you know, we need a new car. This isn't where we need to be on these tracks. We don't put on a very good racing show. Overall, he's right. Now, you take one guy, Kyle Larson, started last, came up to finish second. He got bumped back to last again through a pit road penalty as well. He could pass. One guy could pass. The rest of the field, pretty much not so much. As an overall statement, as a blanket statement, yeah, the downforce racing has stunk on NASCAR for many years. It's not been good. The good race is the exception rather than the rule. We've changed, what are we on, our second or third generation of cars since this aero push came into play? What have we fixed with all these rule changes, with splitters, with wings, with spoilers, all these body rolls, the Twisted Sister before the COT? What have we fixed? What has NASCAR fixed? Nothing. We got nothing. It's the same thing. Aero push is here. It's not going anywhere. Do we need a brand new car? Maybe. Do we need new bodies? Yeah, body. They're so aero dependent, and that overrides the mechanical grip on these things pretty severely at this point. We need, and I don't have the answer, and I can't stand guys that complain but don't have an answer, and I don't have the answer. I haven't worked in the sport. I haven't worked in a shop in 9 years. I don't know the ins and outs of these cars anymore. I couldn't tell you exactly what to do to them right now. But you know, we haven't fixed a thing. All these generations of cars and bodies, we have not fixed a darn thing. And we finished under caution again. Yeah, we followed the rules and through the rule book, we finished and NASCAR did exactly what they're going to do. Their rule book setup sucks. ARCA, it's simple. You finish under the green or you don't. It's easy to see. It's easy to tell. Let's not jerk around with lines and restart lines and how many white flag. Either we finished the race under green or we didn't. And Saturday night at Kentucky, we didn't. If you stayed up all night and watched that race or you bought tickets to that race, I feel sorry. It shouldn't be like that. It feels like a waste of time when a race ends under caution. Before we got back to green-white checkers in 03, was it? 03, I think we started with that, where we no longer raced back to the caution flag. I thought that was a good thing. We're lucky no one got hurt. extending the race into a green-white checker if we needed, so he didn't end under caution. I like that. That's good. But now we've got too many rules, and we painted ourselves into a corner, and we still finish races under caution, much like our aero push. NASCAR, with all your rules, which is tripled, what have you fixed? Yeah, that's what I thought. Nothing. And why the hell are we throwing these green flags so late? NASCAR is starting these races, some of them anyway, at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and I know exactly why. It's to hand the television programming off to primetime programming. They want the cup race on Sunday afternoon to bleed right into that. IndyCar did that this past Sunday. They threw the green flag at 5 or 6 o'clock last night in Iowa, and it was not dark when they finished, but it was a late afternoon, early evening race. That really kills your at-track attendance. Let me tell you something. Sanctioning bodies running their races with television as a first priority is like the short track promoter with the back gate mentality that'll fund this thing. You got to keep the grandstands full. Everything else takes care of itself. What you're doing is you're eating and you're feeding and you're getting rich off the TV money while the grandstands are suffering because people got to get up and go to work in the morning. I used to go to Pocono. You know, when I was a teenager, we threw the green flag at noon. Checkered flag was around 4, 2-hour ride in traffic, 3-hour ride home. That was a long, long day, and I was exhausted come Monday morning. But I made it. Now, if you're throwing a green flag at Pocono at 3 in the afternoon or the green flag at Iowa at 5 or 5:30 in the afternoon, yeah, you're running it like television is gonna make you rich, and you're ignoring the fans and the grandstands. That is where your bread is buttered for all of racing, is fans and the grandstands. TV, radio sponsors take care of themselves when the grandstands are full. Don't be using TV as a crutch when you're killing your grandstands and not taking care of those folks there. I'm way over time. I'll get out of here tonight. I'll step off my soapbox. I'll kick it off to the side, and I'll hand it over to our drag racing friends at the top of the hour here in a few minutes. Everybody in between our broadcast, keep up on the world of motorsports with our website, SpeedwayReport.com. The Speedway Report TV replays are now posted on the site. On the top ribbon, please click on the TV button. You can watch tonight's show as well as archived programs. I've got columns from Steve Zonger, Paul Bluffus, and me. Latest pieces I have written about a visit to the dirt track, Carolina Speedway in Gastonia, North Carolina. Fun night there. A little family action. Check it out. As well as I took a look at Fernando Alonso's future. Where is he going with IndyCar and Formula One? My two latest columns go to SpeedwayReport.com. Big thanks to Jeff Gilder, ZRN, and Racers Reunion for the production tonight. You can hear more from Jeff and Racers Reunion tomorrow, Tuesday at 7 Eastern Time on Racing Through History. Making an Impact kicks off tomorrow at 6:30 Eastern Time. Big thanks to the Racers Reunion chat room and friends for joining us. Go see a race at your local track, folks. They are the backbone and foundation of our sport. I want to thank all of the military, past and present, for the freedoms we enjoy as Americans in our daily life, including the simple things like bench racing right here on a Monday night. Freedom is not free, and a veteran paid that bill for us. To all of the men and women who are defending freedom and watching Speedway Report, take care of yourselves and come home soon. A special salute to the teachers, school staff, firefighters, police officers, and paramedics in our own communities. They are quiet and modest heroes every single day. God bless and thank you. You have been watching Speedway Report from the shores of Lake Norman in Race City, USA, Mooresville, North Carolina, produced and broadcast by the Zeus Radio Network for Racers Reunion Radio. Now, don't go anywhere, because BP, JB, and BS are coming right up at the top of the hour on Racing and Rockin' with draglist.com. Please like our Facebook page, Speedway Report with Patrick Reynolds, and follow me on Twitter at Speedway Pat. For Jeff Gilder, I'm Patrick Reynolds. We will be back next Monday. What do we've got? News from NASCAR Cup, Xfinity Pro Series, and Modifieds in Loudoun, New Hampshire, IndyCars in Toronto, the British Grand Prix, and short track results. Thank you all for joining us on RacersReunion.com, Facebook Live, and SpeedwayReport.com. Good night, everybody. America, modifies and drag, F1 and Indy and everything.